That's the now defunct Boston band, the Titanics, doing a song, a Flies song. Nat Freeberg, the singer for both bands. Titanics with All Hung Up. I guess they're now called the Satanics. That's what I hear. Adam and the Ants with Car Trouble. And it's a good song. Admit it. It's a good song. Some Velvet Sidewalk with Right and Wrong. And they were totally right on last Saturday night in Brooklyn. Really amazing show from Some Velvet Sidewalk. Magazine with The Light Pours Out of Me. And Chris T has just turned off the lights here in the FMU studios. When I say boom, boom, Chris T says, out go the lights.
Try to take that again.
What?
Take that again. Take that one more time. When I go
boom, boom,
out go the lights.
Incredible.
It's like a whole nother world in here now. The lights go off and on comes my show. And we pretend.
I got to do my show in the dark someday, except I won't be able to see anything.
I'm always in a dark, Gerard. It doesn't matter.
The Dark Ages.
Yeah.
Dark Ages of Radio coming up next. Chris T and Aerial View. Not Aryan View.
I know. People have been calling it that for the last few weeks, but hey, maybe we'll just talk about those Nazis again.
Okay. We're going to look forward to that. My name is Gerard. I'll be back next week between 3 and 6. New Jersey, it's been great. I hope tonight has been everything you wanted it to be. Please stay tuned for Aerial View. This is WFMU, Uppsala College, East Orange.
I'm going to say this as straight as I possibly can. I am begging you, if you're a parent and you've got kids there, that this subject is just too upsetting for your young children. Please get them out of the room or change the station. We urge you to exercise parental discretion.
Hey, Uncle, how much you give me for this radio, huh? Now, this hot little old radio, man, is worth plenty of rubles, man. It's got lots of juice. You got shortwave, police call, boats. Late at night, man, you get out of space. Come on, Uncle, just make me an offer. Now, this is a $100 radio, man. It's got a clear tone. Boy, that's clear as a mother's old bell. Let me see. Come on, baby. Show the man your power, baby. Blast him! Give him some of that tone! Oh, man. You radio, you mother!
Hey, Jim, what about TV? You like TV?
What?
New thing, Jim. A television. Oh, pictures.
Yeah!
No pictures.
Why not?
Everything these days is pictures. Pictures and a lot of noise. Nobody even knows how to talk. Just grunt at each other.
Babies that were sacrificed for Satan.
I will probably have nightmares tonight about it.
From the nightmares to the running around the room when they disclose, to the latching on, to the crying and saying, Mommy, 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 don't go out, because if you go out, they're going to kill you. Threats, intimidation, fear.
Now, if you're going to stay cool, you got to wail. You got to put something down. You got to make some jive. Don't you know what I'm talking about? Well, that's all I'm saying.
You're a bad man. You're a very bad man.
Rejection of parental values. Unusual interest in books on Satanism, black magic, or witchcraft. Obsession with rock music groups using satanic symbols or references. Rejection of friends. Preference for being alone. Meditation, chanting, use of new vocabulary.
Is it the force of evil? Does it disrupt? Is it a force for everything negative?
There's two kind of laws, honey. One for the rich, and one for the poor.
He sees all and knows all. He's wise. He's kind. He is fair. He loves truth and goodness.
Listen, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the dogs, the filth. Here is someone who stood up.
Hey, buddy. This is the state of New Jersey, and I don't care who you are.
Hi, welcome back to Aerial View on WFMU Uppsala College East Orange. This is Chris T here for the next hour on this fine Friday afternoon. So glad to be young, alive, and in New Jersey. How about you? Today we have a few things to talk about. We're going to do a couple of different things today. It's a full plate, so write these things down. Number one, we're going to talk about Germans.
Now I see it clearly. My whole life is pointed in one direction. I see that now. There never has been any choice for me.
Wish it into the cornfield. Please, son, wish it into the...
Germans are our chosen ethnic group for today to talk about. We're also going to do like what they do in the Miss America pageant. We're going to ask you some questions and get your responses. One of the questions is, and you could start thinking about this now, is if you could be anybody, who would you be? Simple enough question, right? And we also will be talking about movies. It's summer blockbuster time. And I can comment on the only one I've seen, so I'll do that when we come back. But that's a full enough plate. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, I've disliked Germans for about as long as I can remember. I've always found something about them to be sort of suspicious, contemptible. If it wasn't their need for efficiency in everything they do, it's their contempt for weakness. Now, if we're talking about a national trait of a particular people, I would think even most Germans agree that they have a need for efficiency and a contempt for weakness. And boy, did those two things come together perfectly during World War II. Gee, we already have somebody calling. An upset German. Hello, welcome to the air.
I'm not a German.
Okay.
I gotta tell you, man, you're like crossing way over the line here.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, this is just stereotyping and baiting of the worst kind. I mean, what makes the kind of, you know, rhetoric you're spouting off right now any better than Pat Buchanan or Rush Limbaugh or any of the other people that you and I probably hate?
Well, I mean, this is, I'll tell you what
you,
I was...
You really have crossed the line. I don't know, maybe if you're leading to be provocative or not.
I'm leading up to a particular... I'm leading up to a particular place, and yeah. I think you're jumping in too soon. I mean, you're not allowing me to go where I want with this. You're sort of like, you know, cutting it off before it even gets underway.
Yeah, really.
So, I mean.
Okay. Well, I mean, I
understand your need to be fair and honest and balanced and not to see anybody get maligned unfairly and all of those things. I understand your need to do that, and I appreciate that. And it's great that you would.
See, unfortunately, this is a really hypersensitive time when it comes to, you know, ethnic and racial identities, and I just think extreme care, especially for someone in
well, why should it be?
The public. Why should it be? Well, of course, we should all be, you know, secure enough to not be bothered by someone calling us a name, but that's, you know, that's not reality.
Okay.
That's not 1992.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think the really...
If I talk about Germans, do you think that I'm talking about German-Americans or American-Germans, or am I talking about Germans? See,
I don't know. That sounds very vague to me.
I'm talking here about Germans, and I'm talking about specifically what's going on in Rostock in Germany right now.
All right, that's true.
I'm talking about the rioting that's been going on. I'm talking about the fact that these people are objecting to somewhere near 205,000 foreigners being in their country.
Okay, cool. But
who want to drive them out?
Listen,
but I mean,
what I would do if I were you, if I were the host of the show, I would.
Oh, let's play if I were the host. Okay. If I were the host, I would.
You know, I would have immediately started with that instead of starting off with this blanket description of these.
But you would have never. You wouldn't have called. See, you would have said, "Oh, okay. Well, I agree with everything he's saying, so I don't feel a need to call. That's great."
Well, if you know, if the point of your show is to get calls, I mean, you could just.
Listen. What would you? I mean, the point of the show among other things, is to engage in a dialogue, all right? And for the last few weeks, there's been a problem with that because people don't partake in this show.
Yeah.
They don't participate. They sit at home and feel that they don't have to.
Yeah, I've called you before. I've told you, you've got to get this show on late at night.
Well, I appreciate that, but I don't know how that's going to happen anytime soon. I don't think it's going
to
happen
anytime
soon.
All right, well, in that case... And you want to encourage people to talk, I mean...
I want people to talk about those filthy Nazi bastards.
Okay.
Germans.
Those words are better than saying just Germans.
Oh, okay.
One test you can always do is put yourself... I don't know ethnically, what, you're Greek or something like that?
I'm Maltese.
You're Maltese.
Maltese.
Like the falcon.
Yeah.
Right,
find
okay.
something bad to say about the Maltese. Go ahead.
They're really.
I dare you.
They smell, but other than that,
I don't think.
They like to stand right next to you and breathe on you.
Now, have you ever met a Maltese person? And can you?
No, I just made that up, but it sounded kind of funny.
Yeah. Okay.
Now,
well, there you go.
Put yourself in the position.
Now, the one quarter.
How would you feel if someone started, you know, making all these blanket assertions about the Maltese?
Well, I make blanket assertions all the time about everybody I know and every ethnic group. I mean, I plug into every stereotype possible. I mean, you know, stereotypes come about largely because there's something about them that's true, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they're repeated enough that they do become a stereotype. Unfortunately, they take the place of clear and logical thinking to a great extent, and people rely on stereotypes too much. But I don't think it's going too far to say that as a people, Germans have a need for efficiency. And they have a contempt for weakness. I mean, I would really like somebody to contradict that statement.
I might disagree with you on the latter, but the former, yeah.
You don't think that they have a contempt for weakness?
Not all Germans. I've known, you know, many Germans, and it's, you know, some are that way. And I think more so in Germany than in America when you're talking about German-Americans.
Well, I didn't say anything about German-Americans because if you're in this country and you're German, you're a German-American. I mean, you may not feel like one. You may not want to believe you're one.
But even still, to those German-Americans that you call, if you say German, they're going to feel as if you're talking about them as well.
Oh, Germans brought a lot of great things to this country.
See, unfortunately, labels do matter, unfortunately, you know. So that's really...
I don't think we should be all that sensitive to it, though. I mean, I really don't. I think.
I agree. I think, you know.
And maybe
peace
I'm compl-
and love and flowers should fall from the sky.
Oh,
but,
I'm not saying that. Give me a break.
No, I know. But what you're saying is, I don't think people should. I mean, of course, you know, I probably would agree with you on a lot of that. And
now, you know, it's very insulting to me to be put into any kind of sentence with Pat Buchanan and Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, you're
only
way
because
above that.
I'm an
admirer of your show.
Only because I never make statements that preclude myself, number one, and I always admit to possibly being wrong. I don't think I've ever heard either one of them admit to possibly being wrong about things.
They're far too cowardly, I think.
All right, and most of the statements I make, no matter how stupid, always begin with I believe, I think. It is my belief that...
Okay, that's
I don't
good.
Come out and say these
good.
Things that... Okay, it's my belief that most Germans are sticklers for efficiency and have a contempt for weakness. How's that? Is that better?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
I think, you know, I think there's also less of that German stereotype in children of the post-World War II generation.
Oh, man, these are the children that are rioting right now in Rostock. These are the children...
These are the children who are, like, stupid. These are like the German dirtbags.
Okay, but German dirtbags is what they were calling... German dirtbags is what they were calling those guys back in the late 1920s who were running around in their little brown shirts. I mean, they were...
Well, you know, we've got our own version of them. You know, we've got, you know, good old boys sitting on their, you know, six rusted-out 68 Chevys drinking beer and listening to Freebird and cursing out black people. We've got that going on, you know, all over America. So we've got our own version. So, you know, you could say white Americans. I want to talk about how mean and racist and cruel white Americans are. So do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do see what you're saying. But I can't remember the last time that white Americans got together to attack a refugee facility and kind of tried to burn it to the ground and force all the foreigners out of the country. I mean, I know there's quite a few white Americans who'd be happier if there were no foreigners in this country.
You know, I think we should,
but
we
America
should
is a country of foreigners. That's all it is. That's all it ever was.
You know, I think we should round up all the skinheads and all the white racists and the KKKs and, like, give them like, you know, Idaho.
I don't think that at all.
We'll
I think
turn
that
our cameras on them and we'll watch their laughable society.
No, I think
that would be a riot.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for calling.
You got it.
Bye bye. Hello, welcome to the air.
Is this Alien View?
This is it, Alien View.
Hey, how's it going? It's going along swimmingly.
Okay. I was wondering whether you guys had seen the new video from Patty Hearst.
Oh, no. New video from Patty Hearst is the first I'm hearing of it. Really?
It's amazing, yeah. She left her husband and kids.
Wow.
Strike out on her own with a career.
I can get a date with her now, I bet.
Yeah.
No?
It's weird. They don't show it on, like, MTV. VH1.
What I want to do is I've never seen the movie Patty Hearst, the one that Paul Schrader did, and I would really
Bridget
like to see
Fonda
that.
Oh yeah, Bridget Fonda was in that, right?
Really?
Or no, that Natasha something.
Something Richardson?
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah, I want to see that really badly. I wonder if that's out on videotape.
Yeah, I saw that. It was good.
It's good. I love Paul Schrader.
Yeah, it's a good.
And I heard rave reviews about his new movie Light Sleeper. It's supposed to be really good.
Oh yeah, is that Christopher Walken or?
Yeah, Dana Delaney.
Yeah, so anyway...
We segued right from Nazis into movies, the summer movies. This is great.
Okay,
so you were saying?
Yeah, but you're not going to believe the name of her new video. It's called Rockin' with the Sleestacks.
Really?
Yeah. It's weird. She's, like, dressed up in this crazy reptilian-type thing. She looks like Splash from Hell, kind of.
Uh-huh.
And there's, like, all these, like, little reptilian creatures, like, dancing around. And she's, like, just trying to do, like, her Cher / Madonna thing. She doesn't have a bad voice, actually.
Patty Hearst, you're serious about this?
Yeah, the SLA one, like the side.
Yeah, the very same Patty Hearst, okay.
The Siberian Liberation Front or something.
Sibonese Liberation Army.
Yeah.
She's been hanging out with John Waters, I think. Okay.
yeah, the guy who did Crybaby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, something went to her head. I don't know.
I applaud Patty Hearst, frankly.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe it'd be a good idea for her to make a guest appearance on that new show, The Heights.
Wow, The Heights is an excellent program. Although I haven't seen it, I'm just guessing from the commercials that it's excellent.
Yeah, I watched it last night.
Oh, really? Oh, I want to know that somebody out there taped it and I could borrow a copy of it.
My friend did.
Describe it to me. What happened? What happened? Now this is a Fox series about a band, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like this band that, and the guitarist is like some sensitive, tortured soul who can only communicate through his guitar.
Kind of like Nigel from Spinal Tap.
Cool. So lay it on me. What's The Heights all about?
Yeah. It's like
it's an ethnically diverse sort of group,
politically
right?
Politically correct. Yeah.
They have like a Chinese girl and what else do they have in there?
It's kind of like the Starship Enterprise. Yeah. All the ethnic groups are represented.
Sort of like Josie and the Pussycats. Okay. So who's in the group?
There's a bunch of girls and a bunch of guys. There's seven all together.
Seven people. This is like the John Cougar Mellencamp band or something.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Pretty extensive. My friend taped it. He wants to learn the chords of that song. How do you talk to an angel?
Oh, really? Is there an actual song already?
Yeah,
for
it's
show?
On the radio. It's called How Do You Talk to an Angel.
And is it done by the group The Heights?
Exactly.
Do these people play their own instruments, or do other people play their instruments?
I think we could have a monkey scenario here.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe there's like one, like Mike Nesmith, who actually writes songs and plays, and the rest are fakes, you know? Kind of like that type of scenario.
Oh, it's like The Commitments? But
yeah,
The Commitments played their own instruments.
The Commitments did? Well, I'm not so sure about these guys. I think these are just like rejects from Beverly Hills 90210.
They all really good looking? Or?
They look like they're like models for like 501 jeans and, you know, like...
Is it shot like a 501 jeans ad, the whole show?
Yeah, kind of like cross between that and Baywatch.
Cool.
Yeah.
So there's babes every once in a while in bikinis.
Oh, there's a lot of TNA, man.
Really?
Yeah, out of Woody all the way through. Man.
Excellent. TNA and guitars.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Fox is onto something.
Go figure. But I think it would be a good idea for Patty Hearst to guest star on that. Like, kind of like her career. She's not on MTV yet, but I think maybe she could bring the Rock and the Sleestacks thing onto that show. And maybe, you know...
I gotta get a copy of that of the premiere episode of The Heights. I gotta see this.
Yeah, I'll
I have
friend,
to.
And if I can get a hold of it, I'll call you next week.
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right, later on.
Bye.
Wow, excellent. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, just a quick question about Patty Hearst. Where's Symbonia? If they were the Symbionese Liberation Army.
I forget completely. It's somewhere near Oceania.
Oceania?
Or Estonia.
Estonia?
Yes.
That's on that same map that the Three Stooges point to in that one episode?
Fredonia.
Yeah.
Somewhere near Fredonia.
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, bye.
I don't know where it is. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, I'd like to speak with the host, Arian View, please.
This is him.
Oh, hi. By the way, I saw the Patty Hearst thing. It's absolutely hilarious.
I wish I was clued into these things earlier.
Yeah, it's great. I have a suggestion. You're always looking for an alternative name for your show.
Uh-huh.
How about Octoroons Anonymous?
Octoroons Anonymous?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know if that's really that catchy.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not thrilled with it, but I thanks for suggesting it anyway.
Oh, no problem, man.
Hey, thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
201-678-7743 is the phone number here. We're off to a flying start. Excellent. The show The Heights is something that I was seeing commercials for it for weeks, you know, and thinking, wow, they finally went and did it. They finally did like a show about trying to do a show about a band, but I totally forgot that some guy was sitting around saying, hey, we'll do like a Commitments, but it'll be like L.A., you know. And if you saw the movie The Commitments, I really thought I was going to hate it, but I actually ended up enjoying it because I like Alan Parker. He's a pretty good director. And I thought the movie didn't take itself too seriously. As a matter of fact, I mean, it didn't take itself seriously at all. And the band in that film actually played their own instruments, and they hated each other intensely. I mean, they couldn't get along for 2 minutes. That was the point of the whole thing, was that their egos were keeping them from working together as a band. But something tells me that's not going to be a part of this new Fox program. Something tells me not only will these band members get together and get along, but they'll probably be sleeping with each other in a few weeks. And, I just can't wait to unwind with a video cassette of The Heights. So if somebody out there knows how to program a VCR and is willing for a fee to tape that show every Thursday evening for me and just keep a library of it, you know, it could earn you an extra few dollars a week, I'm willing to pay up to $10 for that service. Think about it. We'll be right back. Anyway, the number here is 201-678-7743. We're talking about so many different things today, it's hard to keep them all straight, but one of them was Nazis in Germany. The other one was the summer blockbusters, or reviews of your most recently watched movies. And coming up next on the plate is, if you could be anybody, who would you be? That's the question that, you know, that if you woke up in a dream and you were in the Miss America pageant, you might be getting asked. So I want you to be prepared. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi. Okay, I'd like to keep this short. The Germans, well, it's not just the Germans. The Brits have been organized packy bashing for a while, and those folks in Yugoslavia are doing some cleansing. It's a European thing. If I had to be somebody else, is probably the question. Not if you could be. If I had to be somebody else, I'd probably want to be my equivalent as a woman, just to see what it's like to be a woman. And as far as movies go, I don't know, it's pretty vacant out there. You suggest something.
Raising Cain.
Raising Cain?
Raising Cain.
So tell me about it. What's that? What goes down?
The new Brian De Palma movie. It's pretty cool.
Oh,
it's
that's really the cool. Lithgow. He plays himself four or five times over.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple of reasons to see it.
I
saw it, yeah. It's the last thing I saw.
Yeah.
I loved it. You know why? Because, I mean, it's such an incredible homage to...
usually on.
To Hitchcock, you know, and to himself. It quotes from so many other movies that if you're into movies in any way,
it's all in there.
Yeah, it's all crammed in there, so
right.
It's pretty cool.
Well, Tom has been doing that for a while.
But this is like this is the zenith. This is better than Body Double. It's better than The Untouchables, which was his last thing that sort of quoted from a lot of other movies. But it brings it all together in a really great way, and it's got John Lithgow in it. He's always, you know, he's been one of my favorites since World According to Garp.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's right. He played a woman football player.
Yeah, yeah. And then he played the psychotic passenger in that Twilight Zone movie. Remember that?
That was
cool. Oh,
that
man,
was
he
almost
was
as good as William Shatner. Oh, but I think nobody can ham bone it like Shatner.
Yeah, I think if you had to put those side by side.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, let's
but
go.
But you have to see Raising Kane while it's still in the movie theaters, because it's definitely Brian De Palma is a guy who's totally into cinema.
Well, I'm and
to watch
out
one
of
his
Hollywood, but I don't know. Maybe I'll give it a go on your recommendation.
I don't mean Hollywood. I don't mean Hollywood. I mean cinema. There's two different things. I mean, he's totally into the way a movie should look, and it doesn't do him justice to watch one of his movies on a TV screen. Okay, it's just like I could make the same comment about a lot of other directors. I mean, you don't want to... Watching a Kurosawa movie on a TV is really disappointing to the director.
Yeah.
He would be horribly disappointed by that. And I think Brian De Palma would be disappointed by watching his movies on a TV set, too. So, anyway, that's... Have I gone on too long about this topic?
Probably, but it was fun interviewing you. Thank you.
Thank you. So. It's like interviewing me now. This is great. Okay. Now, out with the bad... air in with the good air. Let's get rid of these. Excuse me.
Hope they work.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're doing a little transplant.
I grabbed this.
Oh my god.
What?
It's a disaster. Hello. That's better. Yeah. Much better. Thank you, Bronwyn.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, in our studios, Bronwyn, who will be filling in. The Iowa firecracker who will be filling in for Fabio. She was just jumping up and down so high that I could see everything. I could see your underwears.
What color are they?
They're red.
Oh, shit.
And she'll be up next for Fabio. And what were we talking about here? Oh, we were talking about movies. That's what we were talking about. The summer blockbusters, right? And also, the next question is going to be, if you could be anybody, who would you be? Great, huh? Great show. I know I will reveal to you, after you've revealed to me who you would be, who I would be, at the end of this program. So, stay tuned for that. That's going to be pretty exciting, eh, kids? Me revealing to you who I would like to be if I could be anybody. Can you think who it might be? You're always welcome to call and guess. The number here is 201-678-7743. And let's have another brief musical interlude. Some dialing music. All right, we're back here at WFMU Uppsala College East Orange. It's coming up on 6:30. This program is Aerial View. And the phone number here is 201-678-7743. And we're all over the place tonight, but we started out by talking about those filthy, rotten Germans. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hello?
Yes. Welcome to the air.
Hi.
Hi. We were talking about those filthy, rotten Germans.
Yeah,
the ones in Germany.
Yeah, you know what you said about people that they don't, you know, they like in America we don't like attack the refugee camps and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's because we don't have to, because we do it by the law, like sending the Haitians back. We just
really?
We pass a law that says it's okay, and we just don't let them in.
Uh huh. So you feel that's a much more effective solution than trying to run them out once they are here.
Well, I think we're just, you know, we're just as bad as Nazis. We're just, like, more sneaky.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people would disagree with that statement.
Well, a lot of people are stupid.
I found that most people suck.
Yeah.
Anyway, now, do you have any real hatred of a particular foreign group that you would like to bring to light?
No.
None? You feel like you're cool with all of them? They're all okay by you.
Except for Welsh people.
Oh. I've never heard a word of complaint against the Welsh.
They,
never.
You know, they look like monkeys, and they're stupid. They're all minors.
Uh huh.
In the, you know.
You mean like under the age of 18? What do you mean?
Coal mines. They go in coal mines.
All right. Now, can you also say about them that their food is horrible?
It's worse than English food. And okay. They sing all the time. They're always singing mining songs.
Songs about mining.
Yeah.
I cannot think of one.
They got dozens. And they got like their own language, and you can't pronounce it.
It's really stupid, their language, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a stupid language.
Thank you.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, I just wanted to tie a few loose ends together. I just happened to be listening. I came upon in a video store a movie from
Wait a minute, is this Richard Dreyfuss?
No, this is not.
Wow.
It's
uncanny, though.
I'm sorry?
It's uncanny.
Well, I'm from a box, not from a can.
Oh, okay.
Basically, I was in a video store a couple of months ago, and by accident, I found a movie called The Inheritors. It's an Austrian movie, 1985. The Inheritors is a translation, I believe the German is Die Erben. It won honorable mentions in the Cannes Film Festival in 84. It's about neo-Nazi groups in Germany, and it's based on a true story.
Wait a minute, neo-Nazi groups in Germany?
Well,
this was
early 1980s.
I'm not buying it.
Well, this was in the 1980s. Let me just explain the circumstances.
The director
who wrote the script was himself a school teacher in Austria, found a lot of these groups were gaining in popularity.
God, Austria is a strange place, isn't it?
Well, it was not about Austria. It was about Germany. And the kids were drawn into this movement, not even knowing about the history of the Second World War and so forth. I mean, these are kids who are long since born after that. They were attracted because of various social problems, bad home life. They were attracted by the camaraderie. And they came into this. And in this movie, remind you, 1985, it's
1985.
Only 10 years ago. Actually, 1984. It premiered in the United States in 85. But just what we're talking about now, they were denying that the Holocaust exists and all of this sort of stuff. And the adult leaders of these youth groups were showing old, you know, Hitlerian lampshades to the kids, and that while denying publicly that the Holocaust did not happen, and privately they said they will admit it to themselves. I recommended The Inheritors. You can rent it, but you can buy it for only $19. It's orderable in the video stores. Now, on the subject of stereotypes, the word stereotype you have to also consider in the context of a scapegoat. All through history, people have had human needs for scapegoats. Different types of scapegoats go in and out of fashion. In the United States, it became politically unfashionable to talk about blacks. When we look at old 1930s movies, some of which have been withdrawn from TV, but back in the 50s and 60s, they used to be shown a lot, like the old Charlie Chan movies. They were filled with stereotypes, not only about Orientals, but there was an actor named Stepan Fetchit who was their black chauffeur and made remarks.
That wasn't the actor's name, no. That was the character's name, wasn't it? Stepan Fetchit. No,
Stepan Fetchit was the Hollywood stage name of an actor.
You're kidding me. I didn't know that. Well, what do you know? I learned something.
But in the movies, there were remarks about darkies. The original Irving Berlin, the songwriter, wrote a song.
Yeah, but we know all of this. We know this.
No, what I'm saying is that it was very open in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah, I understand this.
Talk against Jews as the Nazis did is likewise politically unfashionable. So the need for the present scapegoat has to do with gay bashing, because this is a scapegoat that, for the most part, they've gotten away with. About last year, the Hollywood actress Vivica Lindfors was popular in the...
She's a great actress, too.
Well, she was mugged in Greenwich Village.
Yeah, it was part of a gay bashing incident.
That is correct.
Okay.
Now, this is what we have to look forward to, because if you listen to some of the born-again Christians...
I don't believe that.
Well, but this is what is happening.
I don't believe that. I mean, I understand the fear that it can escalate, but I don't think it will. I think that there are gays in so many walks of life and so many jobs and
well,
so many different areas where...
Past. Now, again, to come back to Hollywood movies, Ingrid Bergman made a movie about Joan of Arc. This is...
Where is this going?
Remember that Joan of Arc was burned at the stake. 20% of the population is left-handed. And you need to remember that in the Middle Ages, in the time of medieval superstitions, if you did not sit on the right hand of God, you must have been possessed of the devil. The church spoke Latin, and the Latin word for a left-handed person is sinistral, which is related to the word sinister, sinful, and so forth. 20% of the people were likewise burned at the stake for being left-handed.
So if you're a left-handed homosexual, you're really out of luck. If you're a German left-handed homosexual.
That's correct. But what I'm pointing out is simply that all through history, it is a basic human instinct to have scapegoats and to find excuses to promulgate a stereotype, the use
yeah,
of
but,
a stereotype.
But I could pick up a Dr. Seuss book and find out the same thing.
Zeus was gay.
Well, that's wonderful. Glad for him.
As I said, I'm going to get off the air in just one second. I just wanted to finish my sentence. That wherever there is a human person who has insecurity type problems, you're going to have a scapegoat.
The scapegoat exists to
make the person feel better. That's the end of my comment.
Okay. Thanks. Hello, welcome to the air.
I got a top 10 list of people I'd want to be.
Okay.
Should I count 10 to 1 or 1 to 10?
Well, I think you should only have 1, really. I don't know if you should have 10.
Okay, they're pretty good, though.
Quickly.
Okay, Mrs. Manuel Noriega. A spheroid. A spheroid.
Okay.
Sam Houston. Stephen Fetchert.
Stephen Fetchert?
Fetchert. Paul Tsongas.
Uh-huh.
A boll weevil.
No, I said people.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not things.
The Juice Man.
The Juice Man. Oh, the guy on TV.
Yeah. Patty Hearst. Rosie Ruiz. And Alan Napier.
Very, very nice list.
Thank you.
Especially that last one, the Alan Napier. Hello, welcome to the air.
Bronwyn, what's the matter with your voice? Your voice sounds so deep today.
My voice?
Bronwyn. Is this Bronwyn?
Yes.
So you were talking about Paul Schrader?
I was talking about Paul Schrader.
And
we were
Brian.
Talking about Brian De Palma. We talked about Nazis.
Yeah, no, movies. Stick with movies.
Stay with movies.
A couple of years ago, I interviewed both of them.
No, get out of town.
Totally.
What for? For a magazine?
For a magazine. I was working for a magazine.
What magazine?
High Times.
Oh, really? Cool.
And we.
Magazine I've never read, but anyway.
And, Paul Schrader told us he gave Quaaludes to Susan Hubley.
Susan Hubley was in which movie of his?
Hardcore.
No, don't tell me. I was just about to say Hardcore.
Oh, you asked. Didn't you ask?
I was going to say it myself, though. Hardcore was an excellent movie. George
yeah.
C. Scott.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Susan Hubley is now appearing on some friggin' soap opera somewhere.
Oh, I don't know.
She's on, As the World Turns or something.
I didn't know that. I don't follow that popular culture.
No, she's on All My Children or something. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
For the nude scene, he gave her Quaaludes.
Excellent. So, mm-hmm. So I mean, he admitted to this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, okay. We were asking him and stuff. My partner and I were doing the interview.
Did this go into the interview even?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that was our job, was to get, you know, like big people.
Drug stories. From big people.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was a real nice guy. We were at the Hotel Pierre, and he kept taking phone calls in the other room, and he kept saying, "Boys, have some shrimp."
Now that's how a movie director should act. He should be in the other room taking calls and forcing shrimp on his guests.
Yeah.
Now that's how I see it happening if I'm hanging out with a Hollywood director, and he smoked, right?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember
right.
that. But
now,
he was very nice.
Let's play this little game.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'll name a director, and you tell me what you'd have to do if you were hanging out with this director. What activities would you be engaged
okay.
in?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to start out with a tough one, so don't be thrown.
Go ahead.
Sam Shepard.
Red wine, drink red wine, and smoke cigars.
Way off.
Okay.
Sam Shepard, I don't see that happening with Sam Shepard.
All right, let me try another one.
If we were talking about, who's the guy who did the big red one? Fuller? Samuel Fuller?
I don't know.
I think it was Samuel Fuller.
I don't know, but I just thought of Floyd Newtrucks.
No, I was thinking of him. If you're hanging out with Sam Shepard, what is it you have to be doing? You're probably standing on dirt.
I get it.
Okay?
I get it.
And you're probably, around horses or something.
Hmm.
And what are you doing? You're chain-smoking Marlboros. What else are you doing? Having a Budweiser. I could see him as a guy who, like, drinks Bud.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, if let's say you were hanging out with Sergio Leone.
Oh, eating spaghetti.
Now, that's the first thing that people would say. I just don't see that, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I see him as someone who's heavily into, Chinese food.
Oh, this is all making it up.
No. I'm just visualizing. You know, hanging out with a director. Okay, if you were hanging out with Paul Schrader, and you already did.
Yeah.
What was he doing? What would you have to do in his presence?
It was at the Hotel Pierre, and he was...
Oh, this was Paul Schrader. I thought we were talking about Brian De Palma. You said Brian De Palma, too, right?
Yeah, De Palma, no. De Palma we did in his... he's got an apartment on Fifth Avenue downtown. And
what did you have to do when you were hanging out with De Palma?
Actually, he made coffee for us.
Okay, now that goes along very well with his whole thing, making
coffee. And he was wearing that army jacket.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he had... the other thing that I remember is he had a lot of movie posters of his movie, but they were all in Japanese, I guess because they get released in Japan.
Wow, okay,
He was quite nice. He was really nice to us. And it's funny because he had just made a movie that really bombed, that is like a really brilliant movie that a lot of people never talk about. It was called Home Movies.
Home Movies, yeah. Okay, I seem to dimly recall Home Movies.
Yeah, it had Keith Gordon in it and
Keith Gordon is sort of like fallen off the map completely,
what's
hasn't
his name? Michael Douglas's father.
Kirk Douglas.
Yeah, and the blonde. The bimbo.
The blonde bimbo.
What's
gee,
name?
Gee, narrow it down.
Yeah, no, he uses her a lot in his movies.
Oh,
Alan. Therese Allen?
Nancy Allen.
Nancy Allen.
Okay,
right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Teresa Russell.
Keith Gordon is like, where the hell is Keith Gordon? The last thing I remember seeing him in was Christine.
Well, he directed a movie. He just directed a movie about a year ago.
Yeah.
And it just disappeared.
Anyway, it was nice to see Austin Pendleton turn up in My Cousin Vinny. Now, that was nice.
I
thought he'd fallen off of the earth, too.
They dig him up for stuff like that.
No, he's excellent, Austin Pendleton. Anyway, let's get back to what we were talking about now. We were talking about... movies. Can you recommend any summer blockbusters or summer movies for my listening audience? If they had to go out tonight and spend...
Well, actually, not tonight, but I just saw, believe it or not, on Entertainment Tonight that they're re-releasing Blade Runner, but without... They did some changes.
Wow. Blade Runner was an excellent movie.
Yeah, but they took off the vocal narration, the voiceover. That was brilliant.
That was probably an afterthought, all that stuff, Harrison Ford. Okay. If I had to recommend some things, well, I still haven't seen The Player, but I hear it's excellent.
Oh, I saw that was okay. Great. That was great.
I'm sure it's great. I can't see it not being great. Raising Kane, all right. I still haven't seen Batman Returns, but I'd like to.
I'll wait.
There's got to be other things out there. I mean, I heard Light Sleeper is excellent.
Actually, I went.
I heard that the Single White Female is good. And what else? There's got to be other things.
I'm more into I went to see. Let's Get Lost, the Chet Baker film.
Uh-huh.
But that was only there for about a week or so.
Uh-huh.
And I'll try to chase stuff down. It only plays in one theater.
What about Don't Look Now? Isn't that the...
Oh, that was brilliant. That was brilliant.
That's what I heard.
Don't Look Now or Don't Look Back?
I thought it was Don't Look Now.
Okay, because there's... Which one are we talking about? Because there's Don't Look Now, you mean the... Okay, Don't Look Back was Eat the Document, which was the Dylan film.
No, yeah, that's right, Don't Look Back. I'm thinking
right.
of Don't Look
Don't
Now.
Don't Look Now was Don't Tell Me. Donald Sutherland?
No. I'm thinking of the movie that's out now.
I don't know.
The one with Bill Paxton in it.
No.
Maybe I've totally forgotten the title. I probably have. Anyway.
Because it was Don't Look... I think it was Don't Look Now. It was Donald Sutherland and was another guy.
That was an excellent movie. That was the one where he was in the churches and
yeah.
stuff. and his daughter drowns in a puddle or something?
Yeah, yeah. Now, we interviewed that guy as well, Nick Rogue.
Oh, he's, yeah, he excellent movie, really, Nicholas Rogue movie, okay.
It's funny, a lot of people don't know that he was the second unit director on Lawrence of Arabia. I mean, he was brilliant.
Uh-huh.
Real nice guy. As a matter of fact, one of his movies...
Teresa Russell's his wife.
Yeah. And okay. She was in another great...
Horrible actress.
She was in another... But she was good in... I thought she was good in Insignificance.
She was very good in Insignificance. A very underrated, probably not very seen movie.
Played only in one theater.
But I have it on videotape,
only
actually.
Only in one theater. It played in Manhattan.
I bought it when I saw a copy of it for like $6.99 in the local video
but
store.
But I like him because he directed David Bowie, Mick Jagger, and Art Garfunkel.
Insignificant has a great Insignificance. For those of you who don't remember, the movie was about it was based on some real life characters, not named. Marilyn Monroe
Albert
was
Einstein.
Teresa Russell's character, Albert Einstein, Joe DiMaggio, and Joe McCarthy,
yeah.
Senator Joe McCarthy. And it's all about how they sort of collide in this hotel room, these circumstances that bring them together. And it's got a great scene of like Teresa Russell as Marilyn Monroe explaining to Einstein the theory of relativity by using these toy automobiles.
It was just in one theater in Manhattan. That was it. It was like no marketing. That's what happened with that other movie, the De Palma movie. It was just in one theater in Manhattan.
Well, they'll have a Nicholas Rogue retrospective someday, and you know they'll do like a 10-week series of his movies, and
I was gonna say
and he'll be old and feeble and walking out with the aid of an assistant, and they'll be applauding what a genius he is.
That one movie Walkabout was just booked downtown, I think, either at
with Jenny Allgutter.
Yeah,
that's another excellent movie that you never get to see, and also Track 29.
That was funny.
And well, anyway, let's talk about what's out there now that people can go see tonight or tomorrow if they want to go see it.
I don't know. Nuns on the Run or with the Nun?
Nuns on the Run?
No, the Nun movie?
Oh, man, the Whoopi Goldberg Nun movie? No thank you.
No.
Anyway, let's get some more phone calls here. 201.
All right, dude.
678-7743. Thanks. Gee, we're talking movies. Excellent. The show's gone all over the map today, just straight from Nazis into directors and movies into Who Would You Be? The Who Would You Be game was excellent. Who would you be if you could be anybody? Martin Scorsese? Hello, welcome to the air.
Jimi Hendrix.
What?
Jimi Hendrix.
Who's this?
I would be Al Pacino.
Really? You know, you said who I was going to say.
Al Pacino?
No.
Jimi Hendrix?
Jimi Hendrix.
He's dead.
I know.
I could recommend a movie from Australia.
What?
It was called Shame. It was based on like a female Mad Max concept.
I heard something about this movie.
With Deborah Lee Furness.
Uh-huh.
It's a good rental.
Shame, it's called.
Shame.
Okay. Are you in a car?
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. It's breaking our strict rule against phones from cars. Phoning from cars. The number is 201-678-7743, and I really would like to get a recommendation on a movie before I leave here, because I think I'm going to go do that. I think I'm going to go watch a movie tonight. Need to, like, just get out and watch something on the big screen, because I really enjoyed Raising Kane. So if there's anything out there that you've really enjoyed and you want to tell me about, 201-678-7743. That's right. This show has turned into, it's turned from a dialogue between you and I about social conditions and life into you recommending movies to me. That's what it's become. Pretty cool, eh? 201-678-7743. And hello, welcome to the air.
How about Night on Earth? The new Jim Jarmusch?
Yeah, I kind of want to see that, but I kind of don't at the same time.
Why do you kind of don't?
Well, I kind of feel like I can't stand movies that have sort of a, you know, that are sort of segmented. They sort of like, you know, they have one thing and then another thing and then another thing. Sort of, you know, I mean, and it, you know, it's kind of annoying, I think.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I would like to find some characters, and if they were interesting, stick with them for a while and not, you know, jump to another set. But I could see the appeal of it, you know, but I don't know. Did you see it?
Actually, I did, and I thought it was excellent.
Really?
Except for the first one, L.A., because I hate Winona Ryder.
Really?
I don't like her work.
So who? What was so excellent about it? I mean,
I thought, well, it was an interesting similarity between the different cultures in the dialogue. The dialogue carried a very interesting similarity. Like, I'm not familiar with other cultures, but, you know, it had Paris and Helsinki and Rome, and the humor was very similar between the different places. So that kind of surprised me. And Paris and Rome and New York were just absolutely hilarious. And, you know, I wanted to see Delicatessen, but I haven't gotten a chance to see that yet.
Oh, that's the other big word of mouth movie to must see, right?
Yeah, I must see it soon.
You must see that.
And I did see Single White Female, and I would not recommend it to anybody.
No, really? I mean, I love Jennifer Jason Leigh, though.
She's great. Yeah. I mean, she was the only good thing about the whole film, and rest of the film was trash.
Okay. Well, okay. I thanks.
Okay.
Too bad. I was going to see that tonight. You ruined it for me. It's ruined now. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hello, how you doing tonight?
Oh, swell.
I thought so. You're speaking about movies. Do you realize the significance of this whole Woody Allen thing?
No.
It is the first time in over 4,000 years that a Jew has had sex with the daughter of a pharaoh. Incredible.
Yes. It's puzzling. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like this before.
The number here is 201-678-7743. And I've heard many bad Woody Allen jokes over the course of the last week. But that may be the corker. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, I just turned into the show. I hope I ain't repeating anything, but you said Jennifer Jason Leigh. I'm sure you've caught Last Exit to Brooklyn, right?
Yes.
One of the best. Did you ever read the book?
She plays Tra-La-La. Yes, I read the book.
How would you have liked to have lived during them times, boy?
Not really, no.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh,
I think, actually, the book, I mean, the movie was a lighthearted romp compared to the book.
That's true.
You know?
Whatever happened to Hubert Selby?
He's teaching on a campus somewhere.
Are you kidding?
He's teaching a novel course or a course in novel writing or something.
Wow, I love to hear what that guy has to say. There's a chance for a guest, huh?
I mean, you know who's really into Hubert Selby is Henry Rollins. And Henry Rollins is formerly of Black Flag, now of the Henry Rollins Band. He's a big Hubert Selby fan, and he was the one that really tried to revive, I think, interest in Hubert Selby. He's been like what do you call them? Disciple of Hubert Selby's, who kind of goes around talking about him and stuff. The Hubert Selby book. Did you ever read The Room?
Selby? Ever saw that one book by him, and I read it, and I have it like since I was in high school. It's like a treasure.
Yeah, Last Exit to Brooklyn is the big one, but there's another book called The Room.
Can you buy it in bookstores?
I haven't seen it. I don't know. I found it a long time ago, and I lent it to somebody and never got it back.
Yeah.
So it's a book about this guy who takes his revenge on these two, if I remember correctly, police officers. By he basically turns them into dogs.
Wow.
He captures them both, and he strips them of their clothing, and he feeds them dog food, and he makes them fornicate with each other. And he the whole book is this guy talking about these two human beings as his pets, as his dogs.
And let's hear it for Hubie, man. He was all right, huh?
Oh, yeah. Great master of prose.
Whenever I'm in a video store and, like, they have the Last Exit over in, like, the cult section, and I always, like, stand there and hope somebody will walk by and say, hey, have you seen this yet? I got it rented a few times for other people, but let's hear it for Hubert. All right, have a nice day.
Thanks. Yeah, Last Exit to Brooklyn was excellent. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, yeah, I heard you talking about The Heights. I didn't see it, but I tape it for you for $10 a week.
Would you really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're talking like do you have a decent quality VCR?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, really? So,
mm-hmm.
And what about editing out the commercials?
Well, that's possible. I'd have to tape to another tape because I don't necessarily know if I want to watch it. But
oh, man, you have to watch. I'm paying you $10 a week.
Yeah, but that was...
That's like $10 an hour. That's a one-hour show.
Yeah, well...
I mean, most people would be thrilled at making $10 an hour.
Well, I make a lot more than that.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Then forget it, then. Yeah. But if you want to do it as a kindly gesture...
Oh, well, that's possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You didn't see this week's episode, then?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I don't even know what it's about. Oh, yes, I do. Musicians.
It's about 52 minutes too long.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Then why would you want to watch it?
I got to see it.
You
I
do.
Just have to. There's an inner burning desire.
Mm-hmm.
There's a yearning in me that won't be answered until I've seen an episode of The Heights.
You like soap operas?
No, I just like trashy television.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Okay. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yes, Chris. The Player is the best thing I've seen that's still out there. So I would recommend that.
Okay, The
and,
Player.
There's the best film I've seen all year is a Belgian movie called Toto the Hero, which is going to be at the 8th Street Playhouse in a couple of weeks for a couple of days. It's well worth going out of your way to see that.
What's it all about, Alfie?
It's real hard to describe. It's very surrealistic. It's kind of a cross between The Prince and the Pauper, Vertigo, and The Singing Detective.
Wow, now those are three good things.
So if you like any one of those three, you probably...
The Singing Detective was like one of my favorite things of all time. Dennis Potter.
Mm-hmm.
He's swell.
Yeah.
He's like a god among men.
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye. Well, we got another 4 minutes in this program, and then Bronwyn is here for the vacationing Fabio. And that's in another 4 minutes. Get in here with the last licks. This is the last licks portion of this program. At 201-678-7743. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, man, I heard you talking. You were talking about The Heights before, right? I've got a great idea for a TV show. I mean, I see all these really trash shows on, like Melrose Place. You seen that?
I have yet to see Melrose Place.
It's riotous. It's truly hilarious. Well, anyway, I'm gonna call this show Avenue C. Okay, it's set in an abandoned building, I think.
Squatters. It's like squatters, right?
Well, you know, a couple of them are in a band. A couple of them are models. You know, maybe one or two have
junkie models.
Jobs in like hip ad agencies or, you know, just would totally...
Ballerinas that live with psychotic guys.
Yeah, it would totally lambaste the hip, you know, vain downtown culture of New York. But it would have to be for cable because it would be very, very raunchy. There'd be like a lot of, you know... A lot of people walking around with, it would be like Melrose Place, except more...
With a real attitude.
There'd be more skin, you know, it would be...
And the people would be, like, really pasty looking.
Yeah,
and look very unhealthy.
Yeah, right. They'd be, you know, they'd be good-looking people, but they would, like, totally not take care of themselves. and they would, you know, they'd be scrounging for money.
No, if I was a cable guy and you were pitching me this idea, I'd be like, great, when do we get underway with this?
Yeah, I
excellent.
I know, yeah, I think it's good, and maybe, you know, have a few...
I'm sorry you're sharing it with people now, because, like, some savvy kind of guy is going to run up to some network executive and start...
Nobody has the balls to do a show like this.
Well, hey, who knows? Maybe it's up to you to do it.
Right.
I mean, you know, seriously, I would watch that program.
Oh, I know. It would be...
I'd say, gee, what's happening on Avenue C tonight? And those would be the promos. Tune in. See what's happening on Avenue C.
Yeah, they would, like, zoom into, like, this, like, abandoned building and, like, there's, like, a...
Or, like, the guys wander over to 3rd Street and get beaten up by the Hells Angels.
Drunken homeless bum puking, like, on the front steps.
They have nothing better to do than to protest the reopening of the park. That'd be an excellent scene.
Hey, man, it's a people's park,
hey, man.
Man,
get your kids out of here. You privileged little elitist kids.
Yeah, the East Village, home of trust fund anarchists. I love that place.
Yeah. And it's a great idea. I see all kinds of dramatic potential for that.
Yeah, really, you know. But you should see Melrose Place, man. It's just, it's completely riotous. And same thing with Beverly Hills, you know. It's like...
I've seen a couple of episodes of Beverly Hills because, I mean, I don't want to be that far removed
it's
from
like, it's
pop
almost,
culture.
It's
that...
all, you know, it's really funny because it's so close. It's close to being semi-realistic, but it's... Still, it's
what?
It's obviously written by, like, you know, 30-year-old people who are just totally out of touch with youth. But there is a small amount of realness and hipness to it. I know
all my friends look that good.
Just enough to make it better than the Brady Bunch, you know.
I heard something about Shannon Daugherty being this
That's
last week. Someone called me last week and said she showed up at the Republican convention.
Yeah, she's.
I thought that's pretty par for the course.
She's a boob. She's a complete boob.
A boob or a babe?
Oh, yeah.
Now, which is it?
I wouldn't, you know, I certainly wouldn't kick her out of bed, but I mean, she's.
You know, well, for what? For eating crackers?
Well, you know, I'm sure.
I thought the whole thing was I wouldn't kick her out of bed for eating crackers.
She probably eats crackers with mustard.
No, I was going to say that'd be the only reason she'd be there.
Eating?
Eating crackers. No, you know, the thing is, my niece is heavily into Brenda.
So is
Shannon
mine.
Doherty, and
so is mine.
I go over there, and she's got, like, Brenda dolls. And my first impulse is to douse them with fluid and set them aflame. I mean, I could think back to when I was into my burning phase, and I would burn everything, models. I'd spend all these hours building models, and I'd burn them just to watch them melt.
He's melting.
That was my best kick in the world was to burn things. I was really a pyromaniac for quite a period. Yeah.
That's
you were
cool.
telling me this. Bronwyn was telling me this one time.
We can put you in the Avenue C program.
And we had, you know, what the best thing was that me and this guy who used to be in Annihilistics with me, Mike. The Annihilistics. We had this guy we worked who was a baker, right? And we hated his guts. His name was Kurt. And we found this doll that looked amazingly like him. It was a Pirates of the Caribbean doll or something from Walt Disney. So we made it up to look like Kurt. We put a little baker's uniform on it, and we made little bakery trays with little pastries on it. And we set it up in my basement in front of this oven, right? And we basically took this series of pictures of it burning. We set it on fire, and we watched Kurt burn. And while he was burning, we said typical Kurtisms. We were like, hey, I'm burning, I'm on fire. It was really great.
That's brilliant.
It was so therapeutic.
If only we knew who this person was.
If you knew who Kurt was, you'd be like roaring right now. But I mean, even if you didn't, the thought of like burning someone in effigy,
it's
just so great.
It is great.
And
yeah.
I'd like to know what happened to those Polaroids, because we had a series of like 7 or 8 Polaroids of just this thing that from a distance, I mean, it looked like him, you know? And then slowly burning. Anyway.
Great. You'll be a character on Avenue C, definitely.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care.
Okay, this is the last phone call. Last phone call. Hello? You're going to have to